Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
How sweet it is, the Brewers go down to Wrigley, take care of business, leave no doubt, dominate in all facets of the game, and cap it off with a shutout victory over the Cubbies, 5-0. Kyle Harrison was dominant. David Hamilton had himself a night. They got some help from some defense from the Cubs. And once again, Jerry Augustine, we're sitting here going, yeah, the Brewers looked like, played like, and quite frankly, acted like the better team in this rivalry in all three games down at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I've never seen a game or a series where a team went out and dominated on the pitching side like this young Brewers staff did. You know, you take the first day with Sprout going out, looking with his cut slider, being able to locate the pitches and giving them a strong outing. Then Miz coming out yesterday and doing what Miz does best and going the length of the game. But it was really interesting today when Harrison went out to pitch. I thought early in the game he was pitching to the weather because we saw the wind blowing in. It was going to be a tough day to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And what does he do? He says by throwing high fastballs and breaking balls down. Very consistent, threw the ball very well. And just I don't know if there's a dominating outing that we saw in a Brewer pitching staff, other than maybe Miz once or twice that we saw in Kyle Harrison tonight.
Yeah, I mean, what makes them so unique, and this was actually touched on during the telecast about, hey, Kyle, how do you react to, yes, you're a fastball happy pitcher. He especially so was tonight, but your 96, 97 is a couple ticks down from Mizorowski's 100, 102, right? But when you look at what he did today, when you look at really a two-pitch approach today, he threw two changeups the entire game today, Augie. It was 68% fastball, virtually the rest of it slurve. And to dominate a big league lineup like the Cubs, to dominate a lineup where he's facing seven right-handed hitters and say, yeah, no big deal, fastball slurve, here it is, I dare you to hit it. I think David Hamilton said it best over on the telecast. He was getting ahead, and it's just an easy lesson for so many young pitchers in today's game. We can get enamored with velocity. I'm guilty of it too. How often did we see strike one, strike two from Kyle Harrison? Strike one, ball one, strike two. I mean, he was never falling behind in today's game.
I agree, you know, and even every once in a while, he'd throw ball one, he'd come back and make a pitch for a strike. I remember one hitter was one inning, maybe the fourth or fifth, he threw a breaking ball on the outside, a little cutter on the outside, just missed, and they said, the announcer said that, it looked like Contreras was going to challenge that. Brought right back with the same pitch, right on the outside corner for strike one. When you can throw strikes, not get deep in the counts, and get ahead of hitters like he did tonight, you can dominate, and he did that. You know, Kyle Harrison has a little bit different delivery than the other guys. He's more of one of those guys who throws out of a little bit of a lower three-quarters arm, and the ball kind of gives that upward style, like fastball that comes at you and doesn't really have the good sink. It's more of a good rising fastball, and I'll tell you what, he was dominant. Good fastballs, really understood the upper part of the strike zone with that fastball. Every once in a while went down with the fastball, but that breaking ball, when he needed it, he threw it down, he threw it to great spots, he threw back foot sliders, he was back for breaking balls. He was really good tonight.
The final line, 7 innings, 2 hits, no runs, just 1 walk, and 11 strikeouts. He is the first Brewers lefty ever to go into Wrigley and have at least 7 innings and double-digit strikeouts. And an astute listener noted the fact that Aaron Ashby had a 6-inning outing against the Cubs back in 2021. He struck out 12, but that wasn't a shutout either. This one was shutout fashion for Kyle Harrison, simply dominant. And we'll get to the phone lines and to the text as well, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. But the thing that I jump back to here, Augie, and what just surprises me and what I continue to sit down and try to wrap my head around, that this guy, Kyle Harrison, was traded twice by two organizations. The team that's in his backyard in the San Francisco Giants, he's a Bay Area kid, draft to make him an early round selection. They trade him in the Rafi Devers deal. And then the Red Sox turn around and say, thanks, but no thanks. We'll give you to the Milwaukee Brewers of all teams. And when I was watching one of his first live ABs during spring training this year, I was actually standing right next to Jim Henderson. And I know he won't mind me telling this story. And I was standing next to Jim Henderson, watching just a two-inning up-down for Kyle Harrison very early in spring training. And I'm right behind home. And there was a fastball, and I won't say the hitter that he just absolutely torched. Just fastball up, fastball up, fastball up. And I looked at Jim Henderson, and he looked at me, and he goes, that's Josh Hader. That is Josh Hader's fastball. The metrics agree. The deceptiveness agree. How low he throws it. The velo, it is absolutely untouchable. And here we are, a month and a half later. I agree with it entirely.
I agree with you 100%. Because when he's throwing those fastballs, the first thing that came to mind, especially last couple games I've been watching him, who does he remind me of more than anybody, a lefty that I've seen? And there's been some guys throughout history who pick that ball, they throw it at that lower three-quarter, the ball seems to have that explosive-type fastball that, up in the zone that he has. Josh Hader has that. He has that type of fastball when he gets that ball up in the zone. He was really good. He really had to work at getting on top of the ball to make the ball sing. But you're exactly right. That was well put, because I'll tell you what, that ball just explodes. And I think the one thing that Kyle Harrison has got is since he's come over here, and maybe things have worked out at the other places the way they want, way he wanted them to, he's been able to come here and be himself and say, hey, you know what? What do I like to pitch? What is my best pitch? Where can I be the most effective? His most effectiveness is with that fastball and being able to locate it. And tonight he located up in his zone, and he used that slow pitch to pitch down his zone. He threw it hard down sometimes. He threw a little east-west slide breaking ball or a little bit up-down north-south breaking ball. He made it sharp. He made it hard. I'll tell you, when you can do those type of things, change speeds with it, boy, you're going to dominate. And tonight I thought it was as dominating as I've seen this year.
Yeah, it's something when big league hitters can't touch your fastball, right? It's something telling. It's something to monitor. When you're throwing nearly 70% fastballs, and kudos to William to keep calling it, saying, they're not touching it. Let's keep throwing it. And that takes some synergy, and that takes some understanding of what's making this fastball so dynamic. Because Kyle Harrison is the story today. He dominates against the Cubs. 7 strong, a shutout. He gets the victory. Brewers get the win 5-0. We'll talk about the offense, too. Before we get to break, let's get to the phone lines. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Brian and Tosa. Brian, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Don. We beat the Cubs, our defense. Mitchell with a big play right away. They made 3 errors. We take advantage of this. Was our conditions were our kind of conditions. We don't hit home runs, but we keep the pressure on the other team. And basically, most of our runs came as some result of their defensive. Our pitching, as they showed on the broadcast, we've got the lowest ERA in the last since April 25th, I think. We got the best right up there, batting average and runs of, plus runs. We're just clicking. It's a big series this weekend, but, we'll kind of gauge where we're at. I think we're could be the third best team in the National League, maybe the second right now, the way we're playing. Everything's clicking, and it's just good to sweep the Cubs and have Council have that look on his face. It's nice to get him. And I think Murphy's just the right guy with young players. He had the college background. He knows what to do, give him confidence, but also take him to task once in a while. So I think everything is just the right mix, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
Yeah, I agree entirely. Appreciate the call, Brian. It's been a fun week, and it's been a great road trip, a 5-1 trip, all facets. Kyle Harrison certainly takes the headlines, but the offense did just enough today, too. We'll talk about that coming up on the other side of the break. Here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. I don't want to fall into Green Bay discourse, but I was texting a writer friend of mine, and we're all in agreement. That seemed really silly. That seemed really, really silly by Cubs fans. But that's not what this is about. This is about a sweep of the Cubs. The Brewers going 5-0 today against Chicago. It leads us into our Who's Hot, who's cold. It's brought to you by our friends at Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Who's cold could be the fan base chanting Green Bay sucks when you're down at every single moment of this series, but that's not up to me to decide. It's all brought to you by Sider, and with summer heat coming fast, don't get caught without a working AC when you need it most. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is offering $25 off AC tune-ups, but only through the end of May, so schedule your appointment now. Schedule today at Sider.com, S-E-I-D-E-R.com. Who's hot? How about the day for David Hamilton, Jerry Augustine? Because, you know, yes, he hits the Little League home run. He had a walk, and then he had the triple as well. And what I see from Hamilton, hitting the ball hard has always sort of been a sneaky tool of his, getting three hits in today's game. And the difference in approaches right now from the Red Sox to the Brewers, right? He hit .198 last season with the Red Sox. He slugged .333. He's not being asked to slug here, okay? I know he hit six home runs last year. He's told here, hey, man, use your play discipline to your advantage. Put the ball on the ground. Hit the ball hard wherever you hit it, and good things will happen. And one of those good things that happened today was a Little League home run up the middle, and he really got to show off the wheels.
Yeah, it sure was. That was fun to watch. But boy, he turned it on. He was looking like he was kind of a little over a jog going to first base, and he just turned it on. But, you know, he's a young man that you know, he brings a different element to the game. He brings that one number one thing, speed. You never know what he can do. He can do so many things. He can lay the bunt down. He can beat a bunt out. You got to play the infield in. But I thought that at bat where he hit the ball back up the middle where he got that inside the park Little League home run, that was just a great swing. He did exactly what he wanted to do with that. Hit the ball hard somewhere. Got a good pitch and hit and did that. Drove the ball in the right field. It was misplayed out in the right field corner. But I just, what he brings to the ball club is something special. He brings that key element of speed and a guy who can put the ball down, put the ball down on the ground, and you got to play your infield in. That's a unique thing to have, and that's a good thing to have when you have a player that with that type of speed that can change a little bit of complexion in the game from time to time. It was fun to watch. Tonight, he had a great night.
I think what makes David Hamilton shine and where he sometimes unfairly gets in the crosshairs of some fans on the internet, which I don't try to read a lot of stuff on that, but the way I see David Hamilton and what makes him valuable to the Brewers is – yes, he has some positional versatility, but his defense, let's be honest, isn't his strongest carrying tool. It's not his most important tool. And what the Brewers are trying to unlock is that if they can raise his floor offensively using the tools to his advantage. I mean, he still hit a couple of balls over 100 miles per hour today while having lightning fast speed. You know, you tell somebody in Fenway Park, mind you, and Augie, I know you pitch there. Fenway Park for a left-handed hitter is really, yes, you got pesky pole, but if you're not hitting the pole, it is a fly out guaranteed to right field, right? I mean, it is hard to get one out there. And so for somebody like, you know, finally Hamilton to say, hey, let's just spray it. Let's just force this infield, like you're saying, to change its alignment every time you're up to the plate. That's going to create holes. You hit the ball hard. You're going to steal every time. The green light is always on for you. And quite frankly, that's exactly what you want out of a nine-hitter, to be a pest. He rarely strikes out. The ball is generally put in play with him. These are qualities that I love, and I think right now some Brewers fans get a little overexposed and maybe have a yearning for somebody like Caleb Durbin who maybe hits more homers, hits more doubles, and that sort of thing. They're completely different players in the style they go about things, and I think what Hamilton has been as such a great complement as an 8-9 hitter is that's his role. He's an 8-9 hitter, meant to get on base, meant to set the table for the top of the order.
Yeah, there's no question. I think you put it great there with the Boston talking about Boston in their right field. I mean, you got to hit it a ton to get it out of there, unless you hook it around the pesky pole. But, you know, you look at his approach today. I really like the approach today where he said, you know what, I want to hit the ball hard, but I'm going to try to go back up the middle. I'm going to think back. I'm going to let the ball travel, and I'm going to go the opposite way if I have to. And, you know, those approaches, just the things that you said, he can do so many things because if he can start putting the ball in play on the good velocity fastballs, putting the ball in play, hitting line drives, putting the ball on the ground, hitting the ball in the gaps a little bit, he can be such an attribute to this ball club because he has that number one thing. He has the speed. He can do so many things you have to look for in the lineup when he comes up. You just have to adjust the way you play him in the field. So it's interesting. Tonight he had a good night, but I was so impressed with that first at-bat when he hit that ball up the middle, got that inside departure with the air in center field. But I'll tell you what, that was such a good swing. Probably one of the better swings I saw him have all year.
Yeah, I agree. Then the triple down the right field line, scores on the wild pitch. I mean, the Brewers only had two RBIs in today's game because of the wackiness in this contest, but yet they went 3-for-8 with runners in scoring position. The only extra base hit of the game was Hamilton's triple down the right field line, but like you said a moment ago, Augie, the wind was blowing in at Wrigley, and the Brewers are an offense that can create. They got four walks. They had eight hits. Seven of them were singles. There was constantly pressure on the starter, Edward Cabrera, who left the game due to a blister after three innings. And to get four runs, only one of them earned off him, the Brewers did their job on a day that the wind was blowing in, and they said, all right, we showed how dynamic our offense can be. They went in a blowout on Monday night with two homers from Bowers and Yelich. Today they went to grind it out, put the ball on the ground, and make you make the plays, and the Cubs didn't make the plays.
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly when you said about this ball club. You know, you talk about the home runs, when laughing, home runs, and all these things. What this Brew team has been doing, the way they have been playing, is constant pressure. This whole series is all about constant pressure, putting pressure on the defense. Defense only makes errors when you put pressure on them. And I thought the Brewers did an outstanding job. The pitching was beyond what we could ever expect out of this pitching staff, the way they threw the ball, the whole pitching staff, the starters and the bullpen. But I'll tell you what, this offense applied pressure. Even though, like tonight, the ball wind blowing in, they understood that they still put the ball in play. Applying pressure, had guys on base. That was the key to this series, the key to the way the Brewers were able to score some runs, the way they outscored the Cubs. And I'll tell you what, it was fun to watch because there's always something going on, and the Brewers had the opportunity to score some runs.
Yep, let's get to some texts here. Alex from Oshkosh, fly the L times three for the first time since 2021 to get it done at Wrigley Field. Mitch from Kenosha, I don't know what Chris Hook and Jim Henderson are getting paid, but I truly don't think it's enough. It's incredible what they've done with such a young rotation. It is pretty incredible right now, and the good news is they both have signed extensions in the last couple of years. They ain't going anywhere. Adam in Gainesville, Florida, excellent series against the Cubs. Harrison continues to be amazing. I would love to see Hamilton versus the Freeze in Atlanta. Hamilton is dusting him, Adam. It's not even going to be close. Cameron, living in Michigan, it's May, but dang, that sweep feels really good. This series showed the growth of the young pitchers from Sproat to Drouin, Miz to Patrick to Hall, and finally Harrison. Just unbelievable showings from them this series on to the Dodgers. Agreed entirely. But a happy off day first in the meantime. Other little details from this game that I really loved from the Brewers in a moment, because one of the things that I think that just kind of can go by the wayside is defense and is those little things. And, you know, we can all be fired up about Kyle Harrison, but the Brewers set the tone early in this game of how they were going to win this game and how they won as many games as they did a year ago. So back after this on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win. We're having a good time here on the postgame show. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio with Jerry Augustine. You know, in that first inning, we talked so much in the preview leading up about how Kyle Harrison had been dominating with his slurve, and he's been really attacking righties with it and using it as a pitch that can get ahead and get outs with. And then on a 2-2 pitch, Nico Hoerner hooks a double down the left field line. And so that's easy to overreact and go, oh, no. I mean, is this game going to be completely different? And for Garrett Mitchell to get behind a ball on a fly ball to left center by Alex Bregman and fire a 90-mile-an-hour strike to third base, quick tag applied by David Hamilton there, too. Shout out to that. Boom, erases the leadoff double, bases empty, then he strikes out Ian Happ to end the inning. That was the only at-bat all night for the Cubs with a runner in scoring position, that fly-out double play. And Garrett Mitchell setting the tone. He's got a sneaky good arm, and it's accurate. It's just he misses the cutoff man sometimes. He didn't need to hit the cutoff man on this one. And to see the defense the Brewers continue to play, it's always going to be one of their calling cards. Yesterday they made a couple mistakes in the eighth inning. It did not come back to hurt them. But today they play flawless defense, aided by their pitcher, of course, and it was never a doubt.
You know, Domin, I think you'll agree with me. When we're facing a right-hand pitcher, we have Garrett Mitchell in center field. Lately, it's been so much fun to watch the way he patrols that outfield. He is dominating that outfield from left field to right field, making the great plays, getting to balls when he has to, and calling guys off, doing things that a good center fielder has done. Tonight he showed me something a little bit more. Guy got behind that ball and threw a perfect strike, a little bit like a Sal Frelickish, making just a perfect throw to the base. He has done such a good job, and we were wondering, what would he be like if he could only stay healthy for a whole year? So far, it's paid off for him. He's been healthy. He's been doing such a great job. And I'll tell you what, he's getting better on the offensive side. We're going to see him get better. But I'm going to tell you what, defensively, I really like the way he patrols that outfield. And that play he made tonight was special.
I think what the Brewers have with their outfield defense right now, and by the way, Garrett exited this game with back tightness. He told reporters after the game, it's nothing to worry about. He would have played if it was any warmer. It was just one of those odd, chilly nights here at the end of May down at Wrigley. But then the other play that jumped out to me, too, and this outfield alignment that the Brewers have, there were a handful of plays that, you know, Churio made a great read on a ball off Bregman's bat. Then there was a ball that was caught by Garrett off Nicole Horner's bat. I just see easy reads, easy range from the team, whether it's Frelick in right, Mitchell in center, Churio in left. I think that's their best defensive alignment for the team, honestly. And hopefully it's the primary alignment moving forward, given they're facing a handful of righties here coming up. When you combine a no-fly zone outfield with a tremendous infield, especially when it's Ortiz and Terang up the middle, I mean, the double play that they turned in the eighth inning on Miguel Amaya, I thought there was no chance for them to turn that double play. And they got him by a good 3-4 yards. I mean, that just shows how quick and how fast that transfer really is at shortstop.
That was special. I thought one of the special plays of the game was that double play that did turn tonight. And I'll tell you what, there's no way like you, Dom, I thought that they were going to even be able to turn that double play, and they made it look so easy. They are so talented, so strong up the middle, that they the way they can play and the way the plays that they can make. And all of a sudden, you don't think they can make a play, and all of a sudden, they're right there. And I'll tell you what, just very strong defense up the middle. And I agree with you as far as the outfield goes. Those guys in the outfield just seem like the three guys that you talk with, Churio and Gary Mitchell and Frelick, these guys seem like they're really coordinated and working together, understanding themselves and what they can do and what they can't do. And I thought that's so important when you understand what a teammate can do, where they can patrol, what you have to do to make plays. I tell you, it's pretty special. This outfield is very special. But, again, going back to that double play, something that I never thought that they would be able to turn, they did an excellent job at.
This was one of those weeks, too, that, look, the PCA week that he's had with the fan in center field at Comiskey or Rate, whatever it's called these days, and then you've got he had another error in the last week, too. I know he's going through it. He's been scuffling at the plate. Pete Crow Armstrong is a star in this game, no matter what Brewers fans think of him, no matter what even some Cubs fans think of him. He had a brutal series, straight up. There's no sugarcoating this. And to make that error and the mistake that he did and the timing of it, when the center fielder makes that error, it's almost a guaranteed in the Parker because the ball's not going to stop rolling. When it's a corner outfielder, that ball's going to hit the wall eventually. In center field, that ball ain't stopping. But then you throw that in with the catcher's interference. I know he barely got laces. It's still against the rules. He got the laces. You could hear it on the broadcast. They could have thrown him out when he stole second base. They didn't throw him out when Sal Frelick stole second base. And then even, you know, earlier in this game, too, when they had the opportunity to have the strikeout caught stealing, instead, Yelich strikes out. They could have thrown out Contreras. That throw goes into center field. William gets to third, and he scores on a two-out single to right field. He wouldn't have scored if it was a two-out single and he was on second base. I just think little things add up. And the Cubs are supposed to be a team that's one of the best defenses in the game. And this series, they did not look like it, and especially so today. And it's a reminder, Augie, the margins in the major leagues are so tiny that every little mistake in the majors generally gets punished.
Yeah, there's no question. I tell you, I think the Brewers came in with the idea that Murph was going to say he was going to turn everybody loose. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to run the bases hard. They're going to do what they have to do to win ball games. And they came up with key hits when they had to. They put the ball in play when they had to. They put so well. But this team came into this on the offensive side of the ball and said, when we get opportunities, we're going to have to take advantage of them. We're going to have to take advantage to score more runs than this Cub baseball team, which is a great offensive ball club. And they did that. They dominated. They ran the bases well. They took advantage of the errors that the Cubs made. When the Cubs made an error, they really took advantage of it. It was really good to see. And it's one thing that you see when a ball club is playing well, and the way they play better is they take advantage of a mistake, or they take advantage when they're given an advantage. And I thought the Brewers did that the whole series long.
How does winners of 16 of their last 21 and 11 of their last 13 sound to you?
That is amazing. They're just playing great baseball. And, you know, Dom, it's a combination. We talk all about the different areas of this ball club that we have to look at, and it's going to be a concern as we go out through the season. But I'm going to tell you what, they're all coming together, and I tell you, it all starts with pitching and defense. And I'm going to tell you what, this young pitching staff, take note of it. It was fun to watch on TV tonight when they go over and they have the Henderson and Miz is both sitting together. They just go over and look at those two guys and then go to Harrison on the mound. I say, fun to watch young players going out and expecting themselves to do well and going out and executing. These guys have done a great job, and I'll tell you what, the bullpen has been right there with them.
Yeah, Dale Hall getting the final two innings with no funny business was huge. And man, this is another big homestand now coming up here, Augie, where you got two teams that are currently, we don't care about the standings at this point in the year, but two teams that are currently in a playoff position. Obviously the Dodgers, we all know what happened last year, and the Cardinals continue to impress. So I'm really excited for this coming homestand where you maybe have, you know, an off day, you get to realign the bullpen, you have the young, even younger kids going against the Dodgers, which will be quite the test. And then you've got the front end of the rotation going again against the Cardinals. So I'm fired up for this week because this is really a yardstick homestand, because then they get the Astros, then they get the Rockies. Things kind of cool down after this week. So let's see what they're made of, huh?
Yeah, no question. I tell you what, Dom, you talk about this young pitching staff going against the Dodgers. You know, everybody's going to say, yeah, the Cubs have a great offensive ball club and they did a great job to them. But this, that Dodger status of who they are and what you have to do and having these young pitchers go against them, I think this weekend is going to be a fun weekend to watch to see what this young staff does against the two-time world champions and see what happens. But this staff is really pitching well. It's going to be fun to watch and see how they come out and how they play against one of the better teams in all of baseball.
It will be fun. That's our buy or sell area. I'm buying the fact that the Brewers are one of the best teams in the National League. I know you are too. Jerry Augustine, be with us as well. Jerry, appreciate you as always, and enjoy your off day, my friend.
I will, and I'll see you on Friday night. Going to be fun. Let's take the day off here. I'm sure they're going to enjoy it. They deserve it, and a 5-1 road trip. Boy, that's special. But let's go get the Dodgers when they come in on Friday.
It's time to enact some revenge. Appreciate you, Augie.
Take care. We'll talk to you Friday.
All right. Buy or Sell is brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. Do a little other odds and ends, some other notes. Got that rotation that we're going to talk about for the Dodgers. We're going to hear from Pat Murphy as well here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers win 5-0. It's a sweep. You know that by now. Who's our player of the game? It's pretty easy. It's Kyle Harrison, of course. Again, to read the line, 7 shutout. He only allowed 2 hits. He walked 1, struck out 11. I mean, 94 pitches, 65 strikes. Just superb stuff. Superb stuff. His season line reads like this. 5-1 record, a 1.77 ERA in 9 starts, 45 2/3 innings, 59 strikeouts, and just 14 walks. And a reminder, he had a little blip early in this season due to the poor throw from Gary Sanchez. And I don't think Gary's played first base since, now that I think about it. That crazy game against Washington, and then he had to miss his turn through the rotation. He was 10 days between starts. And since that start in Detroit, where he was still trying to get his legs underneath him, right? So we go back to April 26th. His last 5 outings for the Brewers, and this includes a meh one against the Yankees. So they haven't all been dominant. But going back to April 26th, his last 5 starts, he has allowed 3 earned runs in his last 28 innings with 41 strikeouts and 7 walks and just 1 home run in that stretch. If Matt Arnold is calling and it's a pitching prospect, you hang up the phone the rest of baseball. I'm grateful that none of you are hanging up. I don't know why Craig Breslow picked up the phone. I don't know why. And especially now with where the Brewers are at, with Brandon Woodruff still working his way back, Quinn Priester's about to restart his rehab outing yet again. And quite frankly, to have the luxury to say, hey, Chad Patrick, go get some work in the bullpen, right? Go finish a game with 4 innings of working. Make sure your stuff gets refined. And to be able to say, okay, Brandon Spiro, you're a rookie. You can take the mound. No big deal. We want you to be a part of our future, right? You're a rookie. No big deal. Jacob Mizorowski, yes, he was an all-star last year. Started the year with less than a year of service time. Okay. Kyle Harrison started the year with less than 2 years of service time. Okay. Logan Henderson, like 70 days of service time at the start of the year. Robert Gasser, less than 2 years of service time, but most of that was spent on the injured list. Brandon Sproat, true rookie. He made 4 starts last season. Chad Patrick, less than a year of service time. I mean, Shane Drouin, less than a year of service time. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing that this team is doing it with a bunch of pre-arbitration pitchers. It's truly remarkable. They've called up Coleman Crowe to make a spot start. He was tremendous in his 2 starts that he's had to pitch in this year. Brian Fitzpatrick made his big league debut, another homegrown success story. I mean, it is simply amazing what the Brewers are able to do, top to bottom, developing pitching. Just, it shouldn't be a surprise anymore. It shouldn't. It's what the Brewers do. This is a good text from Brandon from Waukesha. After the string of pitching trades the Brewers have made, I'm scared no one will want to trade with us anymore. Great win. Great sweep. Go Crew. I agree. It just doesn't make sense to me. So that is our player of the game. Player of the game is Kyle Harrison. Brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive in the summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Go to iamilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Elsewhere in the league here real quick, the Reds bounce back against the Phils. 4-1 the final there in Philly. I should say, actually, they won earlier today. I beg your pardon. That was yesterday's score. The final score of that game was 9-4 in today's game. So they're 26-24. The Pirates stayed above 500. They shut out the Cardinals today 7-0 behind Carmen Majinski going 5 shut. And then the rest of the bullpen holding strong. They got 10 hits on Michael McGreevy for St. Louis. So still. The NL Central has every team above 500. It's pretty amazing. It's almost Memorial Day, and everybody's still above 500. Pretty wild. We're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. That's coming up next, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers win. Off day tomorrow. Brewers weekly tomorrow night, though, at 8 o'clock. We'll have some coverage of the Christian Yelich home plate charity concert. Talking to some of the guys out there tomorrow night. Enjoyed an off day with the boys. Let's get to the phone lines though before we hear from Murph again. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Jeffrey in Madison. Jeffrey, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Dom. Long time listener here. I just want to give my game ball to PC. I think the Brewers really got in his head throughout the whole series and I'd love to see that ball going under his glove tonight. It was awesome. Thank you.
I think there's a lot of Brewers fans that feel your sentiment. There's a lot of people around the game that probably feel that sentiment. Like I said, I think, you know, appreciate the call there, Jeffrey. But I think for me, the way I net out on PCA is I see a young player who signed a deal going through his first real slump since signing that deal, and his offense is impacting his defense. And quite frankly, I think if this was not a divisional game. You know, if this was, you know, let's say it was Cubs and, I don't know, let's say Cubs and Mariners, right? I think PCA probably would have had the day off today because you could see it impacting him with the drop the other night. He had the tough weekend down on the south side. He has been scuffling for a little bit here. And when that ball got by him, you could just sense just the shoulders continue to pinch and continue to get tighter and tighter and isn't doing anything offensively. We're seeing the body language not great. So I honestly, like, I feel for him. I feel for any player that's going through a slump and that sort of thing. But hey, the takes and the reactions of people who are rooting for your downfall, some of that can be self-inflicted. So I'll leave it at that. I hope it's more fun when, you know, you're beating teams at their best, but it's also pretty fun to shut them out too. And that's what the Brewers did today. So appreciate the call. Let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. As the Brewers get shut out, he kept things in check. Didn't want to overreact here on May 20th.
Fantastic. He was great. He's getting better and better, and this was a great testament to how hard he's worked and how hard our pitching coaches have worked with him. I mean, he looked fantastic.
He threw 64 fastballs tonight, 8 strikeouts, a lot of swing and miss, obviously. What did you see with, like, the difference of how he was able to execute that?
Yeah, I mean, he's been getting this good. I mean, he's been throwing the ball like this, but he found his breaking ball in the second inning and started locating that below the zone, and the heater's got that upshoot to it that makes it so tough on hitters.
What is it like? Murph, I was going to ask you, the guys that work the replay for you normally don't get a lot of attention, but those two,
because you don't give them enough attention.
I'm trying to right now.
What?
Those two challenges were obviously really big early in the game.
Huge.
Did you?
I mean, even when they're wrong, they're right. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they're. It's so close or so much, and they don't take unnecessary chances. They get it right. And Augie Sandry, he's special. Abdel and him have killed it.
I was going to say, for Kyle, when he can stack starts like this, where he has a shutout last time or shutout this time, what does that do when you can stack with that
one? Yeah, I mean, he's just coming into his own. He's bobbed and weaved for a couple years, two different organizations, trying to figure out, you know, how to get it done and how to be consistent, and yeah, he's found a home.
You talked about it pregame, but Bowers came through again, and now he's got a career best 11 game hit streak. Can you just talk about how big of a hit that was?
That was a big hit in the game. All those two out, two strike hits type of thing, you know, those are huge. But we had a lot of, I mean, Hamilton was the story of our offense today. Two line drives and a ball that was into the wind, almost went out of the yard in the corner. He had four quality at bats, and you know, Ortiz had a big game. Those guys don't get enough credit. Those two guys at the bottom were great, and of course, you know, the pitching and the job William did behind the plate.
Mark Hamilton's first at bat, the, you know, inside the park home run. What?
They didn't credit it as that, did they?
I mean, no, but the
I didn't see that. He just whiffed it, or I don't know.
But when you see it go past PCA, I mean, is that where Hamilton's speed is just, yeah, the right guy?
I mean, I said he's going to score. The minute I got by him, I said he's going to score. And yeah, he's got exceptional speed. I'm just happy the way he hit the ball tonight.
Is that just like a Hamilton day where both of his runs kind of come off of his speed like that, also the triple, and then
That's what you have to. You have to hit the ball with the right flight plan if you're that kind of speed. You know, you have to have the right flight plan, and he had it tonight.
Mark, even though it's only the third week in May, what kind of lift is it taking all three right here?
I think it gives us a little confidence. We have a very young club, as you know. Guys that are in their second, maybe their third year. We don't have too many others than that. But, yeah, I think it gives you a little confidence. But, you know, Friday will be here soon enough, and we have the Dodgers in town. So, but I'm happy for the guys. I've said it all year. You know, I trust these guys. They have high expectations of themselves, and we have high standards. So hopefully a weekend like this gives them some confidence.
Well, with Perkins over Mitchell in the field in fifth inning, was that just purely?
Mitch had a little back tightness. Yeah.
Back tightness.
All right, that's straight from the manager's mouth. But as we said earlier, Garrett Fills, no big deal. He would be available to play on Friday. We'll save the rotation preview for the last segment of the program. But up next, let's relive it. A 5-0 victory and a sweep of the Cubs. Highlights after this.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Running back! Ho, ho, ho! And this,
it is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Brewers and Cubs, the finale. Brewers trying to get their first sweep at Wrigley since the 2021 season, when both teams looked very, very different. Edward Cabrera, key trade acquisition for the Cubs. Kyle Harrison, key trade acquisition for the Brewers. He set the tone early in this one. The Brewers got some help from their defense, too, on a fly-out double play at third base to get the out on a Garrett Mitchell throw, then struck out Ian Happ in a scoreless first. The Brewers got things going in the top of the second. A catcher's interference call got Sal Frelick aboard. He stole second base. Joey Ortiz would draw a walk. Runners on first and second. One out. David Hamilton is not bunting. He's doing better than that.
Cabrera brings home the pitch, and Hamilton rips one into center, down for a base hit. Around third and headed for a home is Frelick. Now the ball gets past PCA. Ortiz still running. He's going to score. Hamilton around third. He's on his way home. Here's the throw. Hamilton, head first slide is safe. Three runs on one swing from David Hamilton. It is 3-0 Milwaukee.
Little League homer on the E8. You got to get it done any way you can on the days the wind is blowing in from center field. That was more than enough for what Kyle Harrison was doing. More on him in a moment. In the third, it was a leadoff walk to William Contreras. He stole second, got to third when the throw went into center field. And that man, Jake, continues
runner
to
runner at third. The 2-1. Bowers swings, grounds it through the right side. He's done it again, Jake Bowers. Base hit. In from third comes Contreras, and it's 4-0 Brewers. That guy is incredible right now. Oh, baby, Jake Bowers, 11-game hitting streak, 21-game on-base streak.
How about it? You heard Josh give you the numbers there. The Brewers up 4-0, and then Kyle Harrison said, don't worry, guys, I'm going into this, and I'm going to take care of the rest from here.
The pitch, a swing and a miss, and a fastball in 96. Kyle Harrison. Domination here tonight at Wrigley. His eighth strikeout of the game. He's through five scoreless here on the north side. 4-0 Milwaukee as we head to the sixth.
Oh, he was far from done. He had a leadoff walk in the second and then went through a stretch of retiring 15 in a row.
2-2 pitch. Lifted in the air to right. This is going to carry out to Frelick in a couple of steps. Makes the catch. 15 in a row. Sat down by Kyle Harrison. He is through six scoreless at Wrigley.
He would complete seven with 11 strikeouts in shutout fashion for the Southpaw from the Bay Area. D.L. Hall came on for the eighth, and this was another one of the great defensive plays in this contest to make sure they got out of this game still with zero in the run column.
Balls and two strikes. Hall kicks, delivers, and a ground ball right side. Ranging to his left is Terang for one. Throws to second. Ortiz's throw to first is in time. And the Brewers turn a 4-6-3 double play behind Hall. And that was not routine.
I mean, I know Lane, I think Lane was just surprised that they were able to turn two as efficiently as they did. All that was left to do is win the thing and D.L. Hall with a 1-2-3.
3-2 pitch, curveball, got him looking. A beautiful pitch executed by D.L. Hall. He strikes out Alex Bregman. And the Brewers shut out the Cubs 5-0. And it is a Windy City sweep here this week at Wrigley Field.
How about it? Brewers get the dub by a final of 5-0. We'll wrap things up in a moment on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. All right, final segment here as the Brewers get the sweep. I just want to do one last thing before we move on to the Dodgers. If you're watching here on YouTube, if this is audio form, this is no big deal to you. But I'm wearing my End ALS shirt from the Cubs fans across the street from Wrigley at Obvious Shirts. This is a great initiative done by Boog Shambi, the television voice of the Chicago Cubs, benefiting Project Main Street, helping folks fight ALS. It's a terrible disease. The person I think of in my industry, of course, is Sarah Langs, who continues to fight ALS. But Project Main Street is one of those great organizations that helps out in searching for the cure and for the families who are impacted by ALS. And, of course, if you don't know the backstory, Boog is a Boston College grad and, of course, Sal Frelick, Boston College grad. And Pete Frady's story is part of this as well. So there's a big circle for me that a lot of people that I'm close to have been impacted by ALS. And somebody in my profession on the stats side, it's Sarah Langs, is currently fighting the horrible disease. So ALS is something that's very important to me. I would encourage you to go check it out at obviousshirts.com. They make them in all the colors. So this is the Brewers colors. It's navy and gold. It's great. I would highly, highly recommend it. Now, as for the rest of this weekend, the Brewers get ready for the Dodgers. Now, off tomorrow, charity concert first. So we're going to go party and hang out with Jake Owen at the brand new concert venue across the street from Fiserv. But the thing to look out for in this series is some young arms just getting trusted. Let's see what you got sort of thing, right? Where the Brewers are going to send out a combination of Logan Henderson on Friday, Robert Gasser on Saturday, and Brandon Sproat on Sunday. The Dodgers are going to counter with Justin Robleski on Friday, Roki Sasaki on Saturday, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto on Sunday. Shohei pitched today. That's why the Brewers will not see him in this series. And a reminder, even though it is almost summer, these games are still going to be the night games. So Friday night first pitch will actually be the usual 6:40 first pitch on Friday night. Saturday night will be on national television. It'll be on Fox. Joe Davis will be on the call. It'll be at 6:15. And then on Sunday, back to the normal 1:15, or 1:10, I should say, for that program. But we will have pregame coverage for you on Friday, or I should say Friday at 6:05, Saturday at, I believe, 5, and then Sunday at noon. So plenty of Brewers coverage coming your way this weekend. We will have post-game shows for you all weekend long. And then tomorrow night will be a Brewers Weekly with plenty to be excited about from the crew right now, but plenty of content also from Yelich's charity concert. And I'm looking forward to seeing all the guys out there. No baseball tomorrow. That is the rule. No baseball for all the interviews, and we'll have a good time with the guys. All right. That is going to do it for our program here tonight. My thanks to Nate Rilling producing tonight, stepping in for Matt. He got to go down and watch a dub. I'm Dom Catronio. We will talk to you on Friday from the ballpark. Until then, keep on swinging.